T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Congressman Brian Higgins. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Doing well this morning, Congressman. Let's start with the big news out of Washington, and that is the deal that was passed to avert a rail strike. What's the importance of this deal, and how did we get here?
The House voted to avert a rail strike on Wednesday. The Senate followed with a vote on Thursday, and the president signed the bill into law on Friday. Let's see. There were 12 bargaining units within the rail industry, eight of whom supported an agreement that was negotiated with the help of the administration. It provided a 24% pay increase over the life of the agreement, 4 years, a $5,000 bonus. It preserves existing co-pays and deductibles for insurance, and also increases hearing aid health care benefits, which is a problem, particularly in the rail industry. So it diverted a strike. Keep in mind that we would have lost more than one third of the nation's economic infrastructure with a railroad strike, which would have increased prices at the grocery stores for individuals. So the 1926 Railway Labor Act has been invoked 18 times to prevent a strike. And it was put into place at that time, recognizing how important the rail industry was to the functioning of the American economy. And the strike would produce a major shock adversely into the economy, and it had to be diverted. We tried in the House to include paid sick leave, which is very important to that industry. The railroads are reporting record profits, and the House bill included a provision to provide 7 days of sick leave, but it didn't make it into the Senate bill. But we'll continue to work hard toward the goal of addressing that issue. And it's our understanding that the four of the 12 bargaining units did not support the ratification of this contract. It was primarily because of the lack of paid sick leave. So there you have it.
I know there were some hesitant to vote for this because of intervening into a negotiations. How did the union react to this passing in Washington?
I think it's mixed. You know, keep in mind that there were 12 bargaining units that were part of this negotiation, eight of whom supported it, four did not. So like anything else, either not, you know, in any negotiation, nobody's entirely, 100% happy with it. But I think that, given that they will receive a 24% increase in pay over 4 years, a $5,000 bonus, additional hearing health care benefits, I think the one piece that's missing here is the 7 days of paid leave, which we thought was very, very important. Again, particularly when you consider what the rail industry and those companies are reporting in terms of profit. So like anything in these negotiations, Joe, it's a mixed result. Some people are going to be happy, some people not. But I think this is a major movement forward, particularly when you look at the pay increase and the bonuses that come along with it.
Now, going from something where we saw bipartisan support to something that we don't see so much bipartisan support, and that is the assault weapons ban that Chris Jacobs is sponsoring. We had him on earlier this week to talk about it. What are your thoughts on this, and how do we, with such different thoughts on both sides of the aisle, get somewhere where something might be able to be passed when it comes to assault weapons?
Yeah. Well, I think, a couple of things here. I think we can agree. I support a ban on assault weapons. And if you look at all of the gun violence that's occurred in this country, particularly right here in Buffalo, New York, that shooting started at the Tops Market and ended in 123 seconds. That's 2 minutes and 3 seconds. One shooter with an assault weapon killed 10 people and injured 3 others. That just goes to show you that certain people just should not have guns, and particularly these ones. We have red flag laws in 17 states in the country. And there was an incident about a year before the top shooting where the shooter was involved in some questionable activity where his gun should have been confiscated. But if you look at the common denominator here is that our police are outgunned. You know, Aaron Salter, who was a 30-year veteran of the Buffalo Police Department, an armed security guard at Tops the day of the shooting. He was killed because he was overpowered by the bad guy with the gun. And, you know, if you look at some of these things that are said, you know, gun control is a steady hand. Well, a steady hand requires a sound mind. And that speaks to the issue of background checks. And there's just certain people that should not have guns. If you look at the shooting at Sandy Hook that occurred in 2012, you had one shooter who shot his mother before going to the Sandy Hook Elementary School and shot 26 people, including 20 kids between the ages of 5 and 7. The shooting started at 9:35 in the morning. The shooting ended at 9:40. That's 5 minutes, one shooter, 20 kids between the ages of 5 and 7, and all the autopsy showed that they had 3 and 4 bullet wounds in them. So at the very least, if you don't support a ban on assault weapons, we should agree that certain people should not have guns. And that brings in the mental health issue, but there are other societal issues as well that we need to consider. I don't think we need to get into zero-sum game type of debate. I think we can come up with common sense gun safety legislation that protects everybody, including those who want to exercise their Second Amendment right.
Does there seem to be that kind of talking on the floor of the House? Does it seem that we're going to get somewhere where both sides can agree to pass, as you said, something common sense?
No, there isn't. Every day in America, 110 people die from gun violence. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that gun violence is now the leading cause of death for kids, for children in America. So I think we, you know, need to get past, the political rhetoric about this. I am a supporter of a ban on assault weapons because I believe that that's the common denominator when you look at these mass shootings that kill innocent people throughout our country over the past couple of decades. But certainly, at least we should be able to agree on background checks. Background checks are supported by 85% of the American people of all different political persuasions. And if there were background checks or a waiting period, if you look at the top shooter, if you look at the Sandy Hook shooter, if you look at the Uvalde shooter, they probably would not have been able to purchase a gun. And that's just good common sense. You know, we have a no-fly list for the airline industry because of the danger somebody would pose because of their proclivity to violence. We should, you know, look at those models as it relates to keeping the general public safe, as it relates to gun violence. And our police, as I said, are being outgunned. And, the most stark example of that most recently in Buffalo was, a 30-year veteran of the Buffalo Police Department, well-trained in the handling of a firearm, but he was outgunned by the bad guy. He stood no chance. Despite that, he still saved lives, which is extraordinary. So I think that there's a lot of room from which to develop a compromise as it relates to gun safety in America.
Congressman, Democrats elected Hakeem Jeffries as the new House Democratic leader. Yeah. Nancy Pelosi will be stepping down in the next term. What are your thoughts on Nancy Pelosi leaving that position and Hakeem Jeffries taking over?
I think the timing was right. I think the circumstances were right. You know, this was not a hostile takeover. This was anticipated for a long time. Speaker Pelosi has done an extraordinary job in keeping her Democratic conference together, which is the responsibility of the respective leaders in both the House and the Senate. That indicates an extraordinary skill. I think Hakeem Jeffries is a very talented guy. He's a friend. He's a colleague. And I think he will do very well as the new Democratic leader. And as he has stated in his opening remarks as the newly elected member of the Democratic Conference come January 3rd, that, you know, we're going to work hard to, you know, in a bipartisan way to develop legislation that could get passed in both the House and the Senate and signed into law. There's a lot of work to be done. And the House and the Senate has shown that. You know, keep in mind that March 27, 2022, when, you know, we didn't know a lot about this pandemic that would stifle our economy for the next 2.5, 3 years, in a bipartisan way, the House and the Senate approved $2.2 trillion, signed by President Trump at the time. So when you look at things like, you know, that was deficit spending in emergency circumstances, you can't now say that you're not going to lift the debt ceiling to facilitate the bipartisan legislation that was passed at the beginning of this this pandemic. So we have a lot of work to do, and I think that there is plenty of opportunity to get more bipartisan victories. It's the only way that you do it. There's 435 members in the House. Everybody can't have their own way. There are 100 members in the Senate, and it's very hard to get legislation done. The same as legislation has to pass in the House, meaning same as language in both the House, the Senate, and then signed by the president. And it sounds simple, but when you look at all of the members and all of the, you know, the special interests in Congress, it's very, very difficult to get done. So hopefully we will be able to experience with a divided Congress the ability to get some more bipartisan victories. And when we do, the people that win are the American people.
Congressman, I got to ask you, we had Congressman Sempulinski on, asking him about, you know, Kevin McCarthy and will he be the next speaker? And there seems to be some questions if he will be able to get the votes from his side of the aisle. What are your thoughts on Kevin McCarthy as speaker if that happens, and the infighting that seems to be going on the other side?
Well, the infighting occurs on both sides. You know, each side, the Democrats' caucuses. Say this, you have two things as a member of Congress, your voice and your vote, and you use those as effectively as you can. I think what's going on at this point, Joe, I think McCarthy will probably get the votes. But I think, you know, what's occurring here is you have different interests in his caucus, the Republican caucus, that is looking for leverage to get certain things that are important to them, more leadership positions, more, you know, caucus consideration, because this is a time where, you know, members have leverage. And keep in mind, you're looking at, you know, they need 218. They have 221. So everybody's vote within that conference is important. And we experience that on our side as well. And that's just the dynamics of a House that, you know, is shifting from Democratic majority to Republican majority. But that number is nowhere near what anybody anticipated. The predictions were before the midterms that there would be a 30, 40, 50 vote to swing, and that just didn't occur. So it's a very tightly held majority, and you know, McCarthy, if he becomes the speaker, is going to have to look to the other side, the other side of the aisle, to get votes on certain pieces of legislation that are important to move the nation forward.
Congressman, I got to ask you, Twitter's been in the news a lot over the last few weeks. And on Friday, Elon Musk retweeted a bunch of things he's calling the Twitter files about communications with the Biden campaign and Twitter and some Republican campaigns as well. But the Biden campaign's the big one, and the New York Post story that was censored. You know, we spent 4 years on investigating alleged Russian collusion. Do you think there should be an investigation into the allegations from Elon Musk on Twitter's play in the 2020 election?
Well, all credible allegations of potential problems, potential interference, particularly as it relates to social media in foreign countries, is very, very important to review. That is a fundamental responsibility of Congress, not only to make a budget, but to provide oversight as it relates to the operations of government. What we don't need is, you know, a partisan tilt as it relates to Twitter or social media generally, where misinformation, which is deliberately intended to mislead people and potentially into some actions that are dangerous to others. That is not good. That is not, you know, the American way. We certainly should protect, you know, the right of free speech. But, you know, you just can't simply say anything. There are consequences to words and to actions. And these are the kinds of things that need to be reviewed and scrutinized very closely on both sides of the aisle.
And last thing, Congressman, before I let you go, it was announced last week that the Thruway will up the tolls. And I know that's a big issue in your district on Main Street in Williamsville. I remember last time they heightened it. You know, the concern is that that will put more cars on Main Street in Williamsville. What are your thoughts on it going up potentially 75% in the next 2 years?
Well, that seems a little excessive to me, but I do understand the importance of toll revenues to support the capital budget of the New York State Thruway Authority. It's not the most, you know, politically popular thing, but it is necessary. And I think whatever we can do to avert a detour of traffic from the Thruway to Main Street in Williamsville, which, as you know, is already very, very congested, you know, particularly during rush hour. And, you know, the town and the village has taken major initiatives supported by federal funding to make Main Street in Williamsville more walkable, more bike friendly, more pedestrian friendly. So, you know, you have to balance all of those things. So we'll review this and see if alternatives can be found, particularly given the federal government's infrastructure bill as it relates to additional transportation funding to New York State. But this is, you know, something that we'll look at. But sometimes, you know, you've got to increase the revenue source that is necessary to support capital budgets, because if you're not maintaining to a state of good repair the infrastructure that those tolls are designed to support, then, you know, it's just going to cost you more money in the end.
Congressman Higgins, as always, I thank you for joining us. And if we don't talk before the holiday, I hope you have a great holiday.
Thank you, sir. You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.